Good morning. I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. This morning we're going to do a short devotional out of Philippians chapter 1. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the chapter and then just focus our attention on a couple of important phrases that we find in here. And I hope that this will be a real encouragement, a blessing to you. Philippians chapter 1 says this: Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely opposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn out to my salvation, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, unto my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I live in the flesh, this is fruit unto my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I minister betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be found abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you all or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together, that in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it was given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. What I wanted to do this morning is just take this passage and read it, and then just reflect on a couple of things that we find here. And I hope that you'll take this passage and really dig into it in a lot more depth even than what I'm doing here this morning. But whenever we're studying God's Word, I think it's helpful for us to try to get the big picture first. And so I did that this morning as I was reading this chapter. And this is really what I think the summary of this chapter is. God wants us to keep a godly perspective on all circumstances. And clearly, Paul is going through difficult circumstances. He's in prison. He didn't belong there. He was falsely accused. He was there for the sake of the gospel. And there were a lot of reasons why Paul could have been very frustrated. On top of that, he really loves the people at Philippi. He was concerned about their well-being. He knew that they were concerned about him. And so the Apostle Paul really wanted to be with those people, and he was in prison. So a lot of what Paul desired to do, he wasn't able to do. And there were a lot of reasons for him to be frustrated. But really, this entire chapter just emphasizes the fact that we can and we need to have a godly perspective in all circumstances. Then what I think is helpful is to just take some of the key phrases that we find in the chapter and kind of see how they're all linked together and write them down. And so I did that this morning. Let me read to you a couple of the phrases that I think are really important and we need to take note of them. Not that the other phrases aren't important, but these really are a major part of this chapter. In verse 3, he says, "I thank my God on every remembrance of you." He then says in verse 5, what it was that he was so thankful for. It was their fellowship in the gospel. In verse 6, he says, he's confident that he who hath begun a good work in them will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He then goes on in verse 9 and he talks about the way that he prays for these people that he loves and that he cherishes because of the fellowship that they have together in Christ. He says, "I pray that your love would abound, that it would abound in knowledge, that would abound in judgment, that you would approve what is excellent, that you would be sincere, and you would be without offense until the day of Christ." So as Paul rejoices over these people and as he prays for them, those are the exact things that he prayed for them about. Then in verse 12 it says, "I want you to know that the things which have happened unto me have happened unto the furtherance of the gospel." That phrase is extremely important because the people at Philippi are concerned about his well-being, and Paul's frustrated that he can't be with them, and he wants them to understand that what he's going through has a redemptive purpose, and they need to understand that. And then in verse 18, he says that he rejoices in that Christ is preached. And so he's explained that in spite of his difficulty, there have been people that have actually falsely accused him. There have been people that have tried to use the fact that he's in prison and they're not to kind of hurt Paul's heart. And Paul isn't bothered. He says, "I'm just thankful that the gospel is preached." And he explains where and how. Down in verse 20, he says, "In nothing I shall be ashamed. Christ will be magnified, whether by life or by death." And that phrase really expresses that Paul is completely content in his circumstances, whether it turns out for his physical good or his physical bad. He is very content in the fact that God is in control and that God is going to use these circumstances. And he's a settled person in his circumstances. He then says in verse 27, "Let your conversation," or the way that you live, your manner of life, "be as becometh the gospel." In other words, the way that you live needs to be consistent with the gospel that you've embraced. And so those are some of the key phrases that I highlighted, I jotted down. I'd encourage you this morning maybe to sit down and do the same thing. Perhaps those will be the phrases that really stood out to you. Perhaps there'll be some others that are very important. This is a very rich passage of Scripture. I then want to move on to a couple of observations about the chapter that I think are very important as we think about the main purpose of keeping a godly perspective in all circumstances. The first observation I have is this: a godly perspective puts the well-being of others ahead of us. And in this passage, it's very clear that Paul is far more concerned with how the church is doing than how he is doing. And that's really where a godly perspective starts. It's not about me, it's about others. The second observation that I thought was important is that a godly perspective puts the highest priority not on the physical well-being of a person, but on the spiritual well-being. And it's not that Paul was callous towards people's physical needs. Paul obviously really cared about people's physical well-being. And he expresses that in this book. He expresses that in other places. But if you could look at his highest priority, it was not the physical well-being, but it was the spiritual development and growth of these people. And that's a very important part of having a godly perspective in all situations, because sometimes our physical situation's not so good, but we're growing spiritually through it. And because of that, with the highest priority on our spiritual well-being, we actually can be contented and joyful in that situation. A third observation is that a godly perspective keeps the kingdom of God as its highest priority. You know, Paul was in prison, and it was wrong what had happened to him. He had every right to be frustrated, irritated with his circumstances, but he wasn't. And it's because he believed that the advance of the gospel was more important than whether or not he felt comfortable at the moment. And so he was very content. He was happy that people were being exposed to the gospel, even as he was in prison. And so God's kingdom and its advance was his highest priority. A fourth observation that stood out is that a godly perspective realizes there's always a way to bring glory to God. That phrase, whether by life or death, God will be magnified in my body. That's a powerful statement. He's basically saying, listen, no matter what happens here, God's going to be glorified. And I am happy with that. That's the way we need to be. Another, a godly perspective is consumed with living in a way that's consistent with the gospel. And Paul didn't just want the gospel to be something that he'd embraced and it was a part of his life. He wanted it to be the center of everything. He wanted it to be the heart and soul of what he did, how he thought. And he also wanted that to impact the people around him. I hope that this will be an encouragement to you as you look at Philippians 1. I hope that this morning you've had an opportunity to spend some time in God's Word, that you will. And if you need a place to start, why don't we read together through Philippians chapter 1? I think it's always important that we get the big picture, get some details, and then we're very practical about what we've read. So here are some things that I'd encourage you to consider praying about as you reflect on the passage. The first thing is I'd encourage you to ask God to forgive you where you've been self-absorbed. For me personally, when I reflected on this passage, there were things that God said, Joel, you are a self-absorbed person, and here are some areas. And I had to confess that to the Lord, and perhaps that's something that you would need to do as well. A second area is asking the Lord to forgive you for trying to manipulate circumstances and being frustrated because your own purposes and what you hope to accomplish gets frustrated. You know, Paul didn't do that. He was not frustrated that his desire to be with those people had really been frustrated. He didn't complain against God. He actually saw it as something that God was using. And I think that we need to reflect that in our prayerful heart. And we need to ask God to help us to be content and settled, prayerful, that the kingdom of God would be our primary focus, that we'd be encouraged that no matter what's going on, we can rest in God's good purposes that he has for us. And let's ask the Lord to help us to humbly delight in his ways. I hope that this chapter will be an encouragement to you, and that is my encouragement to you from Philippians chapter 1. Have a great morning.